Mr. Jesse M. Orlasco.
Okay, and I believe that's you, the Honorable Mr. Jesse will be chairing the hearing at this time, sir.
Okay, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Sir, you're coming before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you please state your name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Yes, my name is Jesse Anthony Orlasco, DOC numbers 296478.
Sir, I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing this morning. To my far right is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Mill. In the middle is our board chair, Dr. C.T. Wright. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair this morning, sir. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, so on that form, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself today.
Okay, so also here today representing the Department of Corrections as well as the Parole Office is Mr. Grady, sir. Mr. Grady is representing the Department of Corrections and the Parole Office. You can see him now on the screen, sir.
Good morning, sir.
All right, so at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Grady in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir. I do.
Okay, sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, we will determine whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Phase two, sir, we're going to determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So we're going to start out phase one by reading the allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read those allegations to you. When I read those allegations to you, sir, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, so the first allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7 as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about October 18, 2017 per the attached DCMS lab report dated November 2nd, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
All righty, thank you, sir. The next allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7 as demonstrated by your use of opiates without a valid prescription on or about October 18, 2017 per the attached lab report dated November 2nd, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay, sir. And then your final allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2 as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about November 6, 2017 as written directed on November 3rd, 2017. Defenders whereabouts are unknown, thus you are absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. So based on the admission of Mr. Balbustro, I move to find that Mr. Lincoln, as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses, was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Grady. Then we're going to come back to you, sir, to get some information from you or that you would like to present to the board after we go over some information, okay?
Okay.
Right. Thank you, sir. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Ramosha was released from DOC on September 12th of 2017. He was arrested on February 27th of 2018 by Tucson PD. He has no charges. He returned back to DOC on February 27th of 2018. He has a CSED July 4th of 2018 that reflects 113 Wisconsin days. Current conviction, 2014 theft, 3 years, 6 months. He has no prior conviction. One term with DOC. His CUIR scores are 4-4, mental health scores are 1, substance abuse scores are 2. is affiliated with the Street Gang Barrio Libre site. Prior to supervision, none. Disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs and violence noted. Under arrest, 2006, assault, Arizona County Jail. 2009, disorderly conduct, Arizona Community Supervision. 2013, theft, Arizona Community Supervision. 2013, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona Community Supervision. 2014, theft. 2014, shoplifting, Arizona Community Supervision. 2014, organized retail theft. That's it.
Okay.
Community risk score is a G6, V6.
Okay, so I see that when you were released, without an approved residence. Then looks like on September 12th, you were approved to reside with your aunt, Ms. Maria Snyder, at 1034 North Quinn, apartment number 1 in Tucson. Is that right, sir?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, did you move out from your aunt, or what happened?
Yes, they did. Basically, towards the end, I just didn't have the address, and structures, and that was kind of like a quick out. And she knew when we said there for a little bit, but the truth is that she already had several people there that just wasn't moving there. So with that being said, I probably should have looked into a halfway house or some kind of further programming that I truly needed, but there was no justifying any of my actions. It's there on paper, black and white, and I made a horrible mistake, and I should have been more of an ally with my parole officer and realized that when the letter did get sent out, that there would be a approach intervention as opposed to just sending it back. But my whole mentality was that we're going to send it back, so that's what I chose, and I was horribly wrong. Now that I'm in the Tucson parole officers and their job is actually trying to keep people out of custody in prison, and I didn't take advantage of any of that, and that's basically what I'm seeking here. If at all possible, I have 90 days or so, and I would love to be involved in some kind of drug treatment or halfway house living. I was working out there, I did have a job, and but it didn't matter because I was, on the run. I had scouted and I did let my boss know about all that, and everybody was persuading me to turn myself in and take care of this, that I will have a job when I'm released and I can get out there and just become a productive member of society, which I have a really good family, good family structure, and I was raised better than this, and there's just no excuse for any of it.
Okay. So, sir, were you working in the 70s? You worked at Charity Glass. When did you stop working there?
Well, when did I start or stop?
Stop.
Stop. So, Charity Glass was short-lived till about November or so, like the first week of November, and then I was unemployed probably for about a month, and I got in with a friend of mine he has his own little construction company. And basically, the day that I got arrested was I was already working for him. I was on my way back home from work.
Okay.
But, you never go out every time I'm out here.
So you tested positive for amphetamines just about a month after you have been released. What did you do? Start right back to using drugs, or what happened?
Basically, after everything was said and done with my aunt, I had nowhere to go, and I was pretty much on one or two days ago. I was on the brink of homelessness because I wasn't really being productive in my family's eyes, so of course they were giving me that tough love, and they weren't going to contribute or enable me to destroy myself.
So what happened with the program? So you went to, you were directed to go to La Fontana for IOP treatment. What happened with that?
What happened with that is I just didn't go or show up, and my parole officer did come, and that's when he wanted me to come in so I could go and get a program with the SACA program. I believe that's what was a 90-day program. But in my mind, I was thinking, oh, they're just going to send me back to prison, and therefore just really bad misjudging on my behalf. And, you know, I should have been more mad about the situation and just came in and told them sort of regardless of the consequences, because I didn't really.
All right, so I'm not sure if the board has any additional questions for you.
Yes, sir.
All right, send no questions for coming from the board, Mr. Babbitt-Storm. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion as we come up on a conclusion on the hearing?
Basically, I'm at the board's mercy, and I'm just seeking help for my drug habits and for my addiction, hoping that I can just, you know, better myself and, you know, just continue on my path. You know, I had a bump on the road, I opened, you know, a lot, a couple of us on the road, but I just want to better myself and my children, you know, left alone for myself, first of all.
Okay, so as you say, you want to better yourself and your children, but what were you doing during that 113 days that you were an absconder, sir?
The 113 days, I actually was in a relationship with my girlfriend, and she had kids of her own. So during that time, she was, you know, of course, her and her family were persuading me to turn myself in, and basically cleaned up off the opiates. And I kept trying to get on with my friend's insertion company, and so finally the opportunity arose, and I took advantage of that. And, you know, but like I said, at least I was honest with him and told him I was, you know, on the run from the bad and that I had to take care of this. Therefore, he promised me that I would have a job upon my release from what's in my CSCD or whether it was work. Besides, to release me.
Alright, so at this time, the board is going to go into discussion. During discussion, the board will make a determination whether we will reinstate you on your community supervision. So, Mr. Babbitt-Storm, we're going to ask you to remain silent while you're on the phone. However, please stay on the phone so you can hear the discussion taking place. And then, after that, I'll get back to you with the decision of the board, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. The board is now into discussion. Appears that Mr. Babbitt-Storm wasn't offered out long before he started back to using drugs. He didn't move from the residence where he was staying. He was an absconder for 113 days that he actually was an absconder. He says that he was out and working during that period of time that he was actually there. But he did know that his PO wanted to talk to him and wanted him to come in, but he was a little bit afraid and chose not to do it. Subsequently, he was subsequently arrested. As a result of that, he's been incarcerated based on the information contained in the warrant and based on the discussion with Mr. Babbitt-Storm. I don't see him suitable at this time for community supervision. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues.
Agreed.
Okay. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Babbitt-Storm, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms of business supervision, and have an absolute spot about the lapse of due from the wages for company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Babbitt-Storm.
Yes.
So the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. You will be released on July 4th, 2018, sir. While you're there, sir, try to get involved in some NAAA classes or any program that you can get. Come up with a plan so that when you're released, sir, you won't have any more negative contacts with law enforcement, and you won't go back to prison, nor will you have to see us or come before this board again. Sir, we want to wish you the best of luck, sir, and thank you for taking the time and opportunity for participating in your hearing this morning, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You guys have a good day.
You too.